I would like to begin with a story, a Christmas story that I heard actually a couple of years ago. And it's a story about a family that lives in McAllen, Texas. Does anybody know where McAllen, Texas is? A couple of you do. It's a 10-hour drive from Dallas and sits on the border of Mexico. As far as I know, this is about as far south that you can go in the United States. During the winter, cold is 70 degrees. Wouldn't that be nice? I could use that sometimes if the coldest was 70 degrees. Well, the story is about a family, a husband and wife named David and Tony. They had been married for 30 years. They had two daughters that were grown and out of the nest. And one day, David received some devastating news. He was told by his doctor that he had congestive heart failure, and it had done so much damage to his heart that it was only operating at 10%. And they told him that his only option was a heart transplant. Now, David and Tony were both Christians, and so they asked their church and their friends, their family, to pray for them. And at first, they weren't really sure how to pray because they felt uncomfortable praying for a heart transplant, because in order for David to receive a heart, that meant that someone else would have to die. And they felt uncomfortable praying for that. And so instead, they started praying for complete healing, and they asked their church and family and friends to pray for healing instead of a transplant. By early December, Tony had felt that God had heard their prayer and had begun to heal her husband. But she still wanted some assurance. And so she prayed this prayer. She said, "Lord, I will know that David is okay if you make it snow on Christmas Day in McAllen, Texas." She told her husband about her prayer, and he didn't seem too reassured. So she told three other people about her prayer. And one person said, "Snow in McAllen? That's impossible." Another friend told her, "Tony, if you're expecting it to snow here, a place that you've grown up your whole life and have never seen snow, you might as well start making the funeral arrangements right now." And she said, "Well, we'll see." Well, Christmas Eve came, and about 11:30 at night, Tony went over to the window and she looked outside, and she blinked. And she blinked again. And yes, there was snow falling in McAllen, Texas. And instantly she knew that God had heard her prayer and that her husband David was going to be healed and he would be okay. The next morning, the children of McAllen, Texas, for the first time in their life, were able to build snowmen. They were able to make snow angels in the lawn. They were able to have snowball fights. And for the first time in recorded history, McAllen, Texas received a white Christmas and the first measurable snowfall in 109 years. 3 weeks later, David and Tony are sitting at the doctor's office in Houston. And the doctor entered the room holding David's chart, and he sat down and he said, "I don't know how to explain this, but your heart is fine. David, you're going to be around for a long time." Now, if you've heard that story, you might have heard it referred to as a God-winked story. A special time when God did something for someone, not because he had to. God didn't have to make it snow in Texas, but because he wanted to. And he wanted to show his power in someone's life. And maybe God gave a little wink and a little smile to David and Tony on that Christmas when he answered her prayer. But you know, I want to talk tonight about another God wink story. It's a story about a little baby that was born 2,000 years ago. And this childbirth was different than all the rest because it didn't really happen like everyone thought it was going to. It didn't happen like everyone thought it should. And this was probably one of the most unusual childbirths ever. I want you to think about it. Jesus, God's own son, came down to earth. For hundreds of years before Christ came, people had given prophecies about the one that would come to Israel. And he would be their savior, their king, their Messiah, their deliverer. He would set them free from their enemies. And they looked for this, and they longed for this to happen. And finally, it did happen. God's own Son came down to earth, and God himself was entering our world to live among us. Now, you would think, if they've been waiting for hundreds of years for this to happen, you'd think there would be a huge celebration. You'd think there would be people waiting expectantly for this to happen. And you would think that thousands of people would come, dignitaries from around the world would come and visit this new king and give him honor and royalty. But that's not how it happened. Instead, there was very few visitors that came at all. Some strangers from a faraway land came to see him because the stars told them to. There were some shepherds that came to see him, which talk about being on the bottom rung of the social ladder. The shepherds were that. I don't think there's anybody else lower than them than maybe the people with leprosy. And I don't think they would have even been there had an angel not showed up and told them to go see the king that had just been born. And can you imagine that? The shepherds out there in their field watching their sheep. And all of a sudden the sky is filled with angels. And they tell them, hey, you guys better get to Bethlehem and see your Savior. Your king has come, your long-awaited Messiah. And they said, sure, we'll go. We don't have anything better to do. So which castle was he born in? No, not a castle. You won't find him in a palace. You won't find him in a castle. You will find him in the feeding trough in a barn because there wasn't any room for them in the inn. That's no welcome for a king, but it is how Jesus came to earth. How do you like your presents wrapped for Christmas? Maybe you like them looking kind of like this. Beautiful, shiny wrapping paper, a nice ribbon tied in a beautiful bow. But you know, I think we all know in our heart that the best presents aren't always the ones that are wrapped up the nicest. The best presents are the ones that are given out of love. And the more love that is invested into a gift, that makes the gift all that much more great. I want you to know tonight that the best gift that you ever got was wrapped in swaddling clothes. It was wrapped in rags, in burial cloths. Now you would have expected Jesus to have been wrapped in king's clothes, maybe a purple robe with silk and satin and the finest of linen. But instead, he was wrapped in grave clothes, signifying that he was born to die. Sometimes Christmas gifts are a real surprise. And I like the story that Chuck Swindoll tells about one of his Christmas experiences. He says, when I was a kid, I wanted a basketball so bad I could scream. I dropped all kinds of hints. I made phone calls to my mom in a different voice, telling her that her son really ought to have a basketball. I would look through the flyers and the coupons, and I would find the cheapest prices, and I would leave it on the table, you know, and I tried all kinds of things. And finally, there appeared one day under the Christmas tree a present, a box that looked just the right size of a basketball. He's like, I was so excited. I could feel myself making shots. I could imagine myself dribbling that basketball. I couldn't wait for Christmas Day to come. Finally, it came, and I tore into that present. And you know what it was? It was a world globe. He says, have you ever tried to dribble a globe? I mean, you can't even inflate the thing. It was a horrible surprise, and it wasn't at all what I expected. Well, you know what? Jesus didn't come like everyone expected either. He didn't look like a king, but he is still the King of Kings. And that little baby grew up to do things that only God can do. That little baby grew up to perform all kinds of miracles of healing, miracles over unclean spirits, miracles over nature. He forgave sins, and people loved him. But most importantly of all, that baby of the cradle grew up to be the man of the cross. See, when Jesus was born, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes, which are strips of cloth that they would use to wrap the dead bodies and bury them. And when Jesus died, he was again wrapped in the same material when he was buried. And I think those events at his childbirth show the purpose of Jesus coming into the world. It links the two events. He literally was born in order that he might die for the sins of the world. What an amazing gift of love. And I want you to know tonight that you have never been offered a gift like the gift of Jesus Christ. You have never been offered a gift like the gift of love that God has given to us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten little son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. If you have not accepted that gift tonight, I don't want you to leave here without doing that. In closing, just real quickly, I want to point you to a verse in Luke chapter 1 and verse 38. You can turn there if you'd like, you don't have to. But it's found in Luke 1:38. And I want you to understand what's happening here. All right, Mary is a young virgin, a very upstanding person in her town. And she's visited by an angel. And he tells her, "Blessed are you, Mary, above all others, because you will give birth to God's Son." And she says, "What? How can this be? I've never been with a man." And I'm sure she's very concerned about her reputation, as well as her soon-to-be husband's reputation. I mean, boy, are people going to talk about this. Mary's good name is going to be trash now. Everywhere she goes, people are going to be whispering about her, giving her evil glances, disapproving looks. She's probably afraid that her family won't believe her. She's probably afraid of what Joseph is going to think. And she could have said, "Listen, angel, I don't want this. People aren't going to believe me. I don't even know if Joseph is going to believe me. We plan on getting married soon. I've worked hard to keep this good reputation in this town. You've got the wrong girl. Why don't you go find someone else to bless?" But she doesn't say that. Instead, I want to read what she says in Luke 1:38. "And Mary said, 'Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.' And the angel departed from her." Basically, Mary was saying, "I'm your servant, Lord. Do whatever you want. I'm willing to do whatever, no matter what people think and no matter the cost." And I wonder, this Christmas season, as Christians, how many gifts does God try to give to us that we turn away? How many blessings do we throw back in the face of God and we say, "Not me, Lord. Find someone else. I don't want to do that. I'll look like a fool. What will people think of me if I talk about Jesus to this person? What will they say of me? Are they going to think that I'm a fruitcake?" And I wonder how many times God asks us to do something for him because he wants to bless us. But we're too afraid of how hard it might be or what it might look like on our part. Maybe we're so busy trying to get that last-minute Christmas shopping done and get everything checked off of our list. And we don't want to stop and help the guy that's broke down on the road that needs a jump because we don't have time. We say, "Not me, Lord. Why don't you find someone else?" Or maybe you think, "Boy, somebody should bring some groceries over to that poor family. That guy just lost his job. They just had another baby. I know they're struggling, but you know, I'm kind of tight on money too. I don't want to put myself in a financial burden and bring them some groceries. Not me, Lord. Find someone else." But maybe God is trying to use that to bless us and give us a gift like Mary. And maybe we should have more of an attitude like Mary and say to the Lord, "God, I'm your servant. Let it be to me according to your word. I'm willing to do whatever you want, no matter what people think and no matter the cost. Because I know that if you do that, God will take care of you and you won't be sorry. And who knows? Maybe you'll have the best Christmas ever. Maybe you'll help someone else have the best Christmas ever. And just maybe God will give you a gift that you never dreamed possible." Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? Real quickly, tonight, I just want to give you the opportunity. If you've not accepted this free gift of God, you've never accepted Jesus into your own personal life, you've never said, "Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior," Be my Messiah. Be my deliverer. Would you forgive me for my sin? If you've never done that, I want to give you the opportunity to do that tonight. What better time to receive that gift than at Christmas? Best time that you could ever receive God's gift of love. If you're here tonight, I want to give you that chance. If you would say, that's me, I want to ask Jesus into my life. Would you just raise your hand up and then down? Thank you. Anyone else? Not going to embarrass you tonight. I'm not going to call you up front. I just would like to pray for you. Is there anyone else? Then Christians, tonight I just challenge you to ask God for a heart like Mary's, that you would be able to say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you want. I'm willing to let you do whatever you would like through me, no matter the cost and no matter what people would think. I just want to challenge you tonight to take that attitude to heart and to ask God to give you that heart of a servant this Christmas season. And if you're just willing, I know that God will bring opportunities across your path to help someone to be a servant, and He will bless you for that. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your gift of love. We thank you for loving the world so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, into the world. And Lord Jesus, we remember that the whole reason that you came was to suffer and die for us. You became the redemption for our sins. You took our place on that cross when it should have been us hanging there. Instead, you took our place so that we can be forgiven. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that love, especially this Christmas season. It's just a season about love and giving. We thank you for your gift of love. God, I pray that you would help us all here tonight to adapt an attitude like Mary's, that we could say, Lord, I am your servant. Let it be to me according to your will. I will do what you want. Would you do through me whatever you want? And Lord, I pray then that you would help us to keep our eyes open for opportunities to be your servant. And Lord, that we could reach out and show your love to the world around us, and that they could hear of this wonderful gift as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.